Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will
Radio and Toilet Productions presents The Rod TV Show, your source for inspiration and information. And I'm your host, Mr. Rod TV, coming from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C., where all the lies, and secrets are held. And as always, what we do, we expose the lies, tell you who your lies are, and reveal some of the secrets so that way we can have a better community. So once again, I'd like to thank everyone that's listening for taking out 30 minutes of your time to just to have a conversation with me, and let's talk about the things that's going on in our community politically, socially, economically, so that we can have a better community. And tonight's topic is a very interesting topic, a topic that a lot of people have in regards to their children, and that's education. Education is a key point to our community and the key point to just to develop our economic structure, develop a political structure, develop our social structure. And right now we're having a big crisis in our educational system, and that is the amount of suspensions and expulsions that are going on in throughout the nation. So tonight's topic is called Higher Learning Lessons in Racism. And I named it that because of the fact that there is a very a disproportionate amount of African-American and Latino students that are being expelled and suspended from the school system. And this is something that needs to be discussed. And we've got to figure out why this is happening, why this is becoming a big problem in our country, and what can we do to change the infrastructure and change the system in our education. So if there's any educators that are online, please give us a call right now. 347-850-1228, 347-850-1228. I'd like to hear from you so that way I see what's going on throughout the school system and find out what we can do to change the structure and change the pattern that is going on throughout the country. Now, there are several incidents that have been going on recently that has triggered this discussion when it comes to the suspensions and expulsions. There was an article in the Washington Post about 2 months ago talking about the number of suspensions that have occurred throughout the D.C. metro area. The D.C. metro area, including Washington, D.C., Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Arlington, and the city of Falls Church is the largest school system in the country. Outside of that, you have New York and Chicago. Those are the three largest school systems in the country, and every one of those school systems has the same results. There are a larger number of suspensions from 2006 to now. The numbers have dramatically increased, typically 100 to 200% from the previous reports that were going on. And the biggest issue that I see that goes on is the disparity of between the suspension and expulsions and when it comes down to race. Now I'm just going to read just the state of Maryland alone. 51,485 students were suspended or expelled, and that's including in-school suspension or expulsion in the 2012-2013 school year. Now, if you look at the numbers here, out of those 51,000, 30,000 of them, close to 31,000 of them were African-American, 4,000 of them were Hispanic descent, and 2,000 were of mixed race or biracial. So in essence, 36,000 of the 51,000 that were suspended in the state of Maryland alone were people of African-American, Latino descent. Because when they have the mixed race, basically that means that they're half black or half Hispanic. So they just put that in there as mixed race. So when you do the math, that is 83%. 83% of the total suspensions in the state of Maryland alone were people of color, African-American or Latino descent. Why is that? why has it come down to the point where the people that are being suspended or expelled are of color? Now, this is not a new trend that is going on, but it's just becoming even more eye-opening in recent time because of the reasons why they're being suspended. Now, they're not being suspended for cutting class. They're not being suspended for being delinquent in their homework, for fighting. I mean, fighting is still pretty high, but a lot of the things that are going on when it comes down to suspensions are things as being disrespectful, insubordination. Out of the 51,000 in the state of Maryland, there was 8,000 of that was just from disrespect and insubordination, and then you add another 4,000 of that for classroom disruption. So 11,000 of the 51,000 came from disrespect, insubordination, or classroom disruption, which makes absolutely no sense to me to have suspensions and expulsions on that high of a degree because of those particular incidents. Now, most school districts in this country have a zero-tolerance policy that they have incorporated, and that is after the Columbine incident, after several incidents that have happened in high schools. But what has happened is that the school district has incorporated in zero-tolerance policy. The zero-tolerance policy means that if there's anyone that violates a policy that is considered severe, medium to severe in the school district, then they will be suspended or questions asked. The parents cannot appeal it. The students cannot appeal it. The teacher who may have reported it cannot appeal it if they feel that the punishment is too severe. It is strictly zero tolerance. The administrative staff of that school district has the right to suspend or expel that particular student based on the knowledge of the crime or incident that they have committed. There are good sides and there are bad sides to this particular policy. The good side to this particular policy is based on the particular violent acts that have happened in certain schools. When it comes down to drugs in school, comes down to violence in school, sexual harassment, different types of those acts, this is very important that they do this because there's a necessary need to make sure that those who are doing these violent acts or criminal acts are being reprimanded properly. But the issue becomes that the school districts have used this zero-tolerance policy to their advantage. They can go to any student and say that you are disruptive in class, so you can be suspended for X amount of time. What this does to the student, it lowers the morale when they come back to school because they feel that they're not wanted in the school. They feel that they're not being trusted in the school. It lowers the academic standing of that particular student because of the fact that they've missed time, so they have to catch up. So they will always be at least 1 week behind when it comes down to the studies that they're trying to catch up with in class. And also, there's a social aspect to this that happens to the student. When a student is suspended for a certain period of time, what that does is that socially, it allows an opportunity for them to stray away from the academics because they feel that, okay, the school doesn't want me here. They obviously are trying to give me a hard time. They don't care if I learn or not, so why bother? And this is what the problem becomes. And when I see these numbers here across the country that over 80% of the students that are being suspended are black or Latino, and that's not just in the state of Maryland, it's just not in Washington, D.C., that is across the board. 8 out of every 10 students that are suspended or expelled is African-American or Latin descent. So that is where the issue becomes. Point I would like to ask is why? Why is it that the parents aren't aware of what's going on here? And I feel that the parents are not aware because of lack of participation in the PTA. Now, the PTA at one point in time was supposed to be an intermediary for the parents and the teachers. So the parents, if they have an issue with anything going on with school, with anything going on with the studies, would be able to use the PTA to go to the teachers and say, hey, this is a problem. I want this worked out. Or, hey, I have an idea or a suggestion to help boost the morale with the students. But PTAs across the country have not been on that level anymore. The PTA now is mostly just a fundraising organization that is just designed for the powers that be in the superior level of the school to try to boost money and make their image look good. And that's a big problem when it comes down to the education of our children. When you have parents that are out there not for the betterment of the student body, but just for the betterment of themselves, the PTA is no more than just a booster club. And for those who have gone to a larger college and know what a booster club is, or even a larger high school, a booster club is basically the elite of that school. People who have donated money to that school for a long period of time, and they use the PTA as a means to keep their status up. It's a political move, and that's what the PTA has come down to. The PTA is mostly politics, you know, politics towards academics, and that's what it comes down to right now. And that's the big issue, where a lot of parents are not being heard when it comes down to the disruption and the disrespect that their students are being treated. And looking at that, a big case in point is a case in Mississippi, in White Olive, Mississippi. There was a student that was taking a yearbook picture, and his number on his jersey was number 3. And instead of using the common 3 fingers, which is your pointer finger, your middle finger, and your ring finger, he decides to use his thumb as the 3rd finger, thumb, pointer, and middle finger. And the administrative staff saw this and thought that he was flashing a gang sign. So without question, because of the zero-tolerance policy, he was expelled from the school his junior year. So that means he's out for his junior year. This could disrupt anything as far as academic scholarships, any type of scholastic sports, athletic scholarships, because he is considered expelled for a year. So not only that sets him back for a year academically, but it also punishes him for something, for a crime that he didn't even do. Just because he used a thumb instead of the ring finger, they suspended him. So the parents went to the PTA to try to figure out what could be done. And the PTA said, hey, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Your child is in violation. This is going on constantly throughout communities across the country. No matter what type of different suspensions that happen, the PTA is not involved. And the parents feel like they have nowhere to go because the intermediary that is supposed to be there is just there for fundraisers, not really for helping the children. So what could parents do in this particular point to find out the information that's going on in school? You think, okay, yeah, you can go to a PTA meeting. But PTA meetings, a lot of school districts aren't even being held in times where parents of color can even make it there. They're held in 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, in the middle of the week. And you got a lot of African-American Latino students that work nights, that work weekends, that work long hours, that it's very difficult for them to make it to these PTA meetings. Personal experience, going to PTA meetings, you would see maybe 1 or 2 people of color if you see anybody at the PTA meetings. There's such a lack of involvement when it comes down to the PTA meetings, and this is where the decisions are made between the parents and the teachers. If there's no participation in there, especially from people of color, we are left behind and left out of the social, economical, and political structure that is the academic system. So this has to change. The PTA has to change where it is involved for the parents and for the teachers, that way there's a direct connection. And if that does not happen, then the parents of these students that are being affected are going to have problems because there's nobody to go to. There's nobody to go to, there's nobody to talk to in order to make sure that this is taken care of. And we have to figure out how to take care of this particular incident. So that way our kids know that, hey, my parents are involved, my parents are trying to work this out, and we can make this happen. And once again, just want to let people know, this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, and we're talking about higher learning lessons in racism. The incident in Mississippi is not an isolated incident. When you see 8 out of 10 people that are suspended or expelled are people of color. You go to Chicago, you go to New York, you go to Boston, you go to Los Angeles, the pattern repeats all throughout the country. And most say, oh, well, these kids are bad. These kids are listening to this violent music, listening to this thug life music, things like that, and that's what they're following. But you look at why they're being suspended, I just pulled up Colorado for 2012-2013 school year. Same thing as Maryland, disturbance, interrupting class. These are the reasons why kids are being suspended, you know, suspended, not even in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension or expulsion because of disrupting the class. Disrupting the class should not be a reason to suspend or expel the child. Yes, you bring it up to your parents, you bring it up in parent-teacher conferences, you bring it up in situations like that, so that way this can be handled properly. But if schools are not doing that, if teachers have a fear of doing that, then that's what's going to happen. And this is just ridiculous that this is going to be, this is the trend that is going on. And what this does to the students, this makes them to feel that the school is not worthwhile. School is not worthwhile, I'm going to drop out. And that way, these people that are doing this win. If our African-American or Latino students feel that, okay, school is just not an option because I have no voice, I have no say, I can't question anything that the teacher does, I can't ask a question in regards to a conversation that we're having, then they win. They win, our society loses because we have no say and no impact in our society. And once again, phone lines are open, 347-850-1228. I would like to hear anybody's topic or conversation on this here because this is a very critical topic. We have a lot of educators out there that feel the zero-tolerance policy is acceptable. I've spoken with a couple of teachers in the Wapageo School District in New York, upstate New York, and they said the zero-tolerance policy is very beneficial because of the fact that it allows the teachers to have some sort of authority when a child is disruptive. And like I said, I do not condone any type of disruptive activity. There's a limit to disruptive activity that the teachers should allow. And there is an issue overall in this country where there's children that feel that they have an authority to talk back, to be disrespectful, to do certain things because they know that the adults cannot do anything. No, I'm not going back to the corporal punishment where we have to beat the kids in order to make them feel respected. But at the same time, there are some children out there that feel that, okay, these teachers have no authority over me because I can stay and do whatever I want, and they can't touch me, they can't yell at me, they can't do anything without being sued or fired. So, of course, there are incidences like that where the zero-tolerance policy is very acceptable. But the question I have is, what limit do we have when it comes down to the zero-tolerance policy? What limit should we allow for these teachers and for these administrative staff to let them know that, hey, of course, some kids need to be punished, but there's different ways to punish them. You punish them by, you know, in elementary school by reducing their recess, you know, in-school suspension. Those are a lot better options than considering saying, hey, I'm going to just take you out of school for a week or expelling you for a year because you were disrespectful to me. And that's the direction that the school system are going now, and that's what we need to stop. And I think that's why, especially in the D.C. metro area, a lot of parents are pulling their kids out of public schools and going to private schools. We saw this incident happen in Chicago where a lot of parents are taking their kids out of public school, going to private schools, and they actually closed 43 schools down and wiped out hundreds of jobs because they could not financially and socially handle student body of Chicago. And it wasn't just because of economics. It was because of social ramifications of the kids being expelled. Parents, especially parents of color, are saying, okay, why am I going to send my child to a public school when I can get a voucher and send them to a private school where I know that if there are issues with my child, the teacher will let me know, and they'll let me know right away so that way it can be handled. Public school systems have a real quandary when it comes down to discipline, when it comes down to economics. And all of that balances out when it comes down to disciplining our children. The political aspect of public school systems are that the teachers are underpaid, they're overworked, and they're frustrated. So when a student comes up to them and disrespects them, you know, automatically they're saying, okay, I'm taking this to the principal, you're going to be suspended. because they're mad already, because they're coming in there working 60, 70 hours a week. You know, they're tired. They've been doing a lot of tests, and they have an overflow of students in their classes. Most teachers, if they're a high school teacher and they teach five classes a day, over 150 students that they have to take care of, that they have to educate, that they have to watch over, that they have to discipline if necessary. And this bears down on these teachers. So that's the second point that will help to solve this particular problem. They need to pay the teachers properly and reduce the class sizes so that way the teachers are not as stressed. They can do individual counseling if necessary. The teachers are supposed to be, in a way, a guidance counselor to the students while they're in that class. You know, the teachers are not babysitters. The teachers are not parents. And that's where there's been a disconnect when it comes down to the students and student body, and it comes down to the parents, and it comes down to the teachers, that they feel that the teachers are supposed to be the parent, they're supposed to be the counselor, they're supposed to be their best friend, they're supposed to be an educator. And if you put all that weight on a teacher that has over 150 students, then there's a problem. When somebody jumps back at them or talks back to them, you know, they're like, okay, I'm not dealing with this. I got 149 other students I'm going to deal with. You go to suspension. So if the public school systems cut down the class sizes, increase the teacher payroll, and also increase their time frame where they can properly prepare for these students, then there'll be a big difference. Teachers need the breaks to have in order to properly teach our kids. In the United States, we are ranked 17th in industrialized nations, 17th. But we're focusing on the disciplinary action. The disciplinary action is coming from the poor academic progress because the teachers are not getting properly paid. And the president has been trying to push this agenda to pay the teachers properly, and it's being shut down in Congress each and every time. So I know we only have a few minutes left. I want to make sure that this gets across. Because the agenda that the president is trying to do to increase teacher payroll, to reduce class sizes, and to increase public school awareness when it comes down to discipline, this needs to be passed. And if we keep the same Congress that is in there right now in the system to try to get this through, then it's never going to happen. So pay attention to the election cycle that's going on right now. These are midterm elections, not a presidential election year. These are midterm elections. So that means your congressmen, your senators, your House of Representatives, your local state Senate, and local state House is being sight on and on task right now when it comes down to elections. So we have to vote carefully and vote consciously when we do these elections. Don't just vote because a person is Democrat, a person is Republican. Look at their structure. Look at their background. Look at what they feel about education. If you have a person that wants to enforce the zero tolerance policy, wants to enforce a policy on reducing the teacher payroll or cutting back on schools, then don't vote for this person. This person is not in the positive mindset for our children, a positive mindset for our communities. Look for those who are looking towards the educational goals, looking towards, you know, trying to reduce the class size, looking towards expanding school districts in order to make it better for our children. This is very important. And if you are voting just by party lines, then this problem will still continue. Kids will be constantly expelled from school. Kids will be constantly suspended that are undeserving because there's a misrepresentation in Congress. Your state Congress, your local jurisdictions, and the United States congressional hearings as well will all be disproportionately biased towards the Caucasian students that are in private schools, because a lot of these people that are being elected send the kids to private school anyway. They don't care about the public school system. They don't care about anything that's going on in public schools because of the fact that it doesn't affect their children. But if you elect congressmen that are aware of the needs of public school systems, that are aware of the needs of the children that are in here, that are trying to get education, and that are being pushed back each and every week, each and every day, just because they want to question something with their students, and they're being racially profiled and racially discriminated on, then this is a problem that has to stop now. Elect those people so that way things can change. And also, the third and final point I want to get back to, and let me get off that topic, the third and final point that I want to get to in regards to the reasons why exposures and suspensions are very high in our society comes down to parenting. It comes down to being involved in your children's life. I know times get hard. I know working long hours and working long days is very difficult to communicate with your children. You know, I have two children myself, two girls, one in elementary school, one in middle school, going into high school, and this is a problem because of the fact that if you do not spend time with your children, then they will lose focus of what's necessary and what's important in the academic system. Talk to your kids each and every night. Find out what happened in school. Anything new, interesting, exciting. Ask that question. If you ask an elementary school student, especially if there's anything new, interesting, exciting that happened in your school today, they'll let you know. And knowing that is a very important part in diffusing any type of issues that would happen in school. Because if a child tells you, oh, I've had an issue with my teacher was telling me this, I asked a question and they wouldn't answer me back or they gave me a snide remark, then you can respond to that right away. And this is where parental involvement is very important to try to shut down this issue that we're having with these suspensions and expulsions. Communication is the key to everything when it comes down to parenting. You don't have to be a buddy with them. You don't have to, feel like you have to be the best friend with these children. No, you don't have to do that. People feel like, okay, I'm just going to let them go, do their thing. As long as they're getting good grades, they can do whatever they want. And this is a Pandora's box that you're opening when you do that. You say, oh, yeah, they can go to the mall when they're 10, 11 years old, female, and they're going by themselves, or they can go hang out all night. As long as they're getting A's, I don't care. If parents do that, then what they're doing is they're perpetuating any type of disturbances that can happen in the school system because these kids know that, hey, my parents don't care whatever I do as long as I get A's. And if you do that, then there's going to be a really severe problem in your community. To your children, let them know that there's guidelines. You can't go out to do your homework. That was a big key line that I used to hear when I was a kid. You can't go out until you finish homework. Once you finish homework, you can go out, and then you better be back in when the lights are on. Kids don't hear that anymore. Kids don't hear that structure. Even when your parent is working, they still have ways to put these expectations on their children. It's even easier now than when I was a child. When I was a child, there was a landline phone. I could be outside, and all they hear the phone ringing from outside. I could run inside and pick up the phone, and everything was good. Now you have cell phones. Most of these kids, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old and up, have cell phones. So now the parents can just text them, oh, have you done your homework? Okay, take a picture of it, send it to me. There's different things you can do to make sure to verify that your children are on task and are on point with their academic studies. And if we do that, we'll have a better community. We'll have a community that is focused on education, that is focused on structure, that is focused on discipline, so that way these disturbances won't happen. And once again, I appreciate everybody that has been listening. Of course, we're sponsored by Tranquil Minds Massage and Wellness. When your kids are stressing you out, it's time for relaxation and time to relieve some of the stress that happens in everyday life. So if you're in the District Maryland, Virginia, and you're looking to relieve that stress, looking for that relaxation, hit me up on RSD44, hit me up on Facebook at Rodney Stevenson, or you can go on TQMind.massagetherapy.com. And once again, I thank everybody that's been listening into this, that's been responding to this. It's been a really great conversation. And those have been on Love Talk each and every Friday. Once again, thank you for listening for all of our shows. And we're going to be expanding very soon when it comes down to our shows. We're going to have a music show. We're going to have a health and wellness show coming up in April. So any artists that are out there, musicians that want to get their song heard on the radio, please inbox me on my Facebook so that way we can get your songs out there. And also anybody that's interested in learning about health and wellness, listen out for the shows that are coming up in April. And once again, it's the Rod Stevie Show. And thank you once again. So until next time, we'll talk next week.
Intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all.